Go to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. And as I mentioned to you last Sunday, what the Lord put on my heart was to for our theme for the messages at Christmas was from our banners right here. And last Sunday, what did we talk about? Anybody remember? We talked about love, okay? All right. Two guesses as to which we're going, what we're going to talk about today. Joy. No, actually, it's going to be peace today. Yeah. Door number one or door number three, okay? Door number one, okay? All right, we're going to talk about peace today. So Luke chapter 2, then the angel said to them, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Praise God. So Christmas is about peace. You know, if you think about it, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, from the moment they sinned, from the moment they opened the door to Satan in the Garden of Eden, peace was shattered. Up until that time, from the time God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, everything was peace and harmony. Amen? Everything was peace and harmony. But when Adam and Eve sinned, when the door was opened to Satan, then the peace was shattered. And there was disharmony, there was chaos, and there was war. And we can trace the history of humanity from that time, and we see chaos, we see war, and we see disharmony, don't we? But praise God, when those angels appeared to the shepherds on the Bethlehem countryside when Jesus was born, they made the announcement, peace on earth. Now, there was peace in heaven because the devil had been cast out of there. There was peace in heaven, but they were declaring, peace has come back to the earth. The peace that had been taken from the earth at the fall of man had now been restored, had now been brought back. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And then Isaiah had prophesied that this Savior would come, a child would be born, a son would be given, and his name would be, among other things, the Prince of Peace. And he says in verse 7 there, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Greek word for peace, as we read the New Testament, it was written in Greek. The Greek word is Eirene. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. E-I-R-E-N-E. I'm saying Eirene. You probably don't know any better, so we'll go with that, right? All right. In the Vines Dictionary, the Greek Dictionary of New Testament words, we find this definition of peace. The harmonized relationships between God and man accomplished through the gospel. The harmonized relationship between God and man, and that harmonized relationship, that peace, was accomplished and is accomplished through the gospel. Hallelujah. And it also means the harmonious relationships between men, between people. Rick Renner, who is a wonderful apostle of God and a Greek scholar as well, he's written a couple of volumes called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. he says this about peace. In the Greek, Irene is the equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom, which expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, tranquility of soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It means the rule of order in the place of chaos. And the root word that Irene, the Greek word for peace, the root word that it comes from is eiro, E-I-R-O, and that word means to join, to join. If you think about what peace means, first of all, we have been through Jesus, through the gospel, through God coming to earth as a man, we've been joined back to God. Hallelujah. And so number one today, in considering peace and thinking about this peace, number one, we've been given peace with God again. Everybody say peace with God. See, Jesus joined us back to God. Amen? See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that peace, that harmony that they had with God, they walked with God and He communed with them and walked with them, that peace, that harmony was shattered. And chaos began to reign as Satan became, from that day, Satan became the god of this world, and chaos began to reign. And that's why the devil tries, that's his number one objective today is chaos. Where you see chaos reigning, you know that's the devil is behind that. Amen? But God, thank God, God had a plan to restore peace. God had a plan to restore order. Hallelujah. And that's what peace means. It's the rule of order in the place of chaos. God had a plan to restore that. And that's what the angels were announcing. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace has come back. It's now possible to have peace again. For there to be peace again. Where there had been chaos. Where there had been war. Hallelujah. In Acts 10:36, when Peter is preaching to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, he talks about this peace. He said, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Proclaiming peace through Jesus Christ. Proclaiming that we can be restored back to God. Proclaiming that we can be joined back to God. Amen. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Again, everybody say, peace with God. Say, I have peace with God through Jesus. Amen. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Satan is the enemy of God, right? And when man sinned, the thing that happened was we went over and we joined the devil's army. We became his ally. We became Satan's ally. Adam, when Adam and Eve obeyed Satan and ate of the forbidden fruit, they became Satan's ally. They joined his side. And because of that sin nature that passed down to all of us, we all came into Satan on Satan's side. We were God's enemies. And what God did, though, it says, while we were still His enemies, He sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we've got peace with God. Amen? So the angels were announcing that night in Bethlehem, they were announcing that from God's perspective, as far as God was concerned, God was saying, there's an end to hostilities. Humanity was at war with God. We were God's enemies, and God says, I'm declaring peace here. I'm declaring an end to hostilities because I'm sending my Son as a sacrifice for sin. I'm sending my Son to deal with and to take care of the thing that has separated mankind from myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That was the announcement that the angels made. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Praise God. God was saying, I'm not mad at you anymore. I'm not opposed to you anymore. I'm not at odds with you anymore. My will towards you is good. My will is not to destroy you. My will is not to oppose you. My will is to welcome you back as my sons and my daughters. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We have this word peace. Again, it means order. A return to the rule of order instead of chaos. Because of Jesus, when we embrace Him, when we receive Him, we can have that peace in our lives. Our lives, instead of just being chaos and purposeless and what am I here for, all of a sudden when we receive Jesus and when we come to know Him, all of a sudden our lives have meaning. Amen. Our lives have purpose. There's a God who loves me. There's a God who created me. There's a God who has a plan and a purpose for my life. And it's a good plan. Amen. Hallelujah. That's peace. That's peace. That's order. Hallelujah. That's purpose. Amen. Praise God. We have completeness. That word means wholeness. Peace means wholeness. It means completeness. Hallelujah. We have completeness now because of peace with God. Hallelujah. We're no longer like the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler in the Gospels? He came to Jesus and he said, good master, good teacher, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life? He said, I've done all this. I've kept the commandments. I've done this. I've done that. But he knew there was something missing. He knew there was something that just wasn't complete. The only way that we can have that completeness is when we receive Jesus. Because when we know Him, when we receive Him, we realize there's nothing more that I can do or that has to be done to make me accepted before God. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And I can rest in that. And I can say, I'm not trying to do another good thing to where I can make it into heaven. I'm not trying to do another good thing where God will finally accept me. No, I have peace with God through Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done. Amen. When we have peace with God, we know that what Jesus did was enough. It's not Jesus plus. Yes, we have to receive it. Yes, we have to accept it. But we can't add anything to it. A lot of people live their lives tormented. Well, I just got to do one more thing. What's that? One more thing. And their lives lack peace. Hallelujah. But with Jesus, there's completeness. There's peace. Hallelujah. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. It's finished. And it was. Our redemption, our salvation, everything that was necessary to give us peace with God and to bring us back to God, it was finished. All we have to do is believe it. All we have to do is accept it. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we have peace with God, then we can have, number two, the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God in our heart and mind. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, there's no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. But when we come to God through Jesus, then we can rest. We can have peace. See, the wicked know in the back of their mind, and you and I, we've all been there. When we think of the wicked, we're not thinking about somebody way up over here. We're thinking about our life at one time. Because there have been times in your life where you just can't have peace. Why? Because you know that you're out of fellowship with God. You know that you're living in sin. And you can't have peace. Amen? See, the wicked know in the back of their mind something bad is coming. Oh, looking over their shoulder. Something bad is coming. But those who are trusting in Jesus, those who are standing in His righteousness, we know that no matter what comes, all is well. That's why, though, even those folks in Kentucky, those that know Jesus, even in the midst of this devastation, they can know in their hearts, you know, all is well. And that's why our prayers and the prayers of a nation can avail for them as we pray for them to have peace and comfort. They can have that peace. No matter what has come, they know all is well. God's going to restore. God's going to rebuild this for us. If those that have lost loved ones that are believers, they're with the Lord. They're in His presence. They can have peace, even in the midst of a tragedy. That's the peace Jesus brought to this world. That's the peace that came back to earth when Jesus came. Amen? The peace of God in our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4 talks about that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You can have that. We can have that. Once we have peace with God, now we can have the peace of God guarding our hearts, guarding our minds. Hallelujah. That no matter what we face, no matter what we deal with, no matter what comes, we can have that peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way in John 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Hallelujah. He's talking to His disciples before He goes to the cross. He's about to go to the cross. He says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the peace He gives us. That's the peace that He gives us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then number three, not only can we have the peace of God in our hearts and minds, but we can have the peace of God in every area of our life. See, because this peace, the word peace means wholeness. The Greek word irene is the equivalent of the Hebrew shalom, which means wholeness, which means nothing missing. Nothing broken. Hallelujah. See, and that wholeness means, and that word, as we pointed out, it's from the root word, which means to join. See, the peace that Jesus gives us can put back together the things that we've broken. Hallelujah. Can put back together your broken life. Can put back together your broken health. Can put back together your broken finances. Hallelujah. Can put back together your broken relationships. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in the again, as I studied this out in the Vines Dictionary, he talks about the God of peace. God calls Himself several times in the New Testament. He refers to Himself as the God of peace. The God of peace. About four or five times in the New Testament. And here's one of them that I found quite interesting. It's in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. In Romans 16, 20, it says this, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Now think about that. Sometimes when we think of peace, we think of the pacifist movement, right? Well, I'm not, you know, I refuse to serve in the military because I'm a pacifist. I'm for peace. You know, remember the peace sign of the 60s? Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm sure there were some good things that came out of that. But this is a little bit different perspective on peace here. Everybody look this way. Everything's good back there. So, praise God. All right. Peace comes with the defeat of your enemies. You know, sometimes, well, never. You cannot compromise with evil. Amen. Evil has to be defeated. That can be the case naturally, in nations and in geopolitical situations, that can be the case. You know, we can't compromise with the devil. You can't say, okay, Satan, let's just have peace here. I won't bother you and you don't bother me. I'll quit believing the Bible. I'll quit trying to share it with other people, and I'll just mind my own business and you just leave me alone. You can't negotiate with the devil. The only way to have peace this way is for Satan to be crushed under your feet. The God of peace does that. The God of peace does that. For you to have true peace, it means Satan is crushed. Oh, I wish God would do that. Well, he says he's going to do it under your feet. Under your feet. What does that mean? It means that he's given you authority through the name of Jesus. He's given you and I authority through the Word of God. And so if you and I are going to have true peace, we're going to have to deal with the devil. And that's not compromise with him. That's defeat him. That's put him under your feet. Now, when I say defeat him, Jesus already took care of it. Jesus already defeated him. We just have to stand in that victory. We just have to enforce that victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We exercise the authority that he's given to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then finally, this. When we have peace with God and we know the peace of God in our lives, then that translates out and we can begin to live out and experience and promote peace with one another. Amen. 2 Corinthians, and it starts first in the church. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Paul is exhorting. These are his last words to the Corinthians. He says, finally. All right. So his last words that he's writing to the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians, this letter that he wrote to them, that we know as 2 Corinthians, he says, be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace. Many, many times throughout the New Testament, throughout the epistles, Paul writes to the churches about living in peace with one another, right? About believers living in peace. Well, we can have that. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. We have peace with God, and then we experience the peace of God, and then we let that translate out to peace with one another, harmony with one another. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. I want to, I've shared this before, you may remember me sharing it, but I want to tell you about a Christmas miracle that happened back in 1914 that illustrates this principle, this truth of having peace with one another and what the peace that only comes through Jesus can bring about. The year was 1914, and soldiers were having to spend Christmas Eve night on the battlefields of France during World War I, the Great War, as it was called. After only 4 months of fighting, more than 1 million men had already perished in the bloody conflict. The bodies of dead soldiers were scattered between the trenches. Enemy troops were dug in so close that they could easily exchange shouts. On December 24th, 1914, in the middle of a freezing battlefield in France, a miracle happened. The British troops watched in amazement. And so on one side of the front were the British troops. On the other side were the German troops. The British troops watched in amazement as candlelit Christmas trees began to appear above the German trenches. The glowing trees soon appeared along the length of the German front. Henry Williamson, a young soldier with the London Regiment, wrote in his diary, "From the German parapet, a rich baritone voice had begun to sing a song I remembered my German nurse singing to me. The grave and tender voice rose out of the frozen mist. It was also strange, like being in another world, to which one had come through a nightmare. German officer Walter Kirchhoff a tenor with the Berlin Opera, came forward and sang Silent Night in German and then in English. In the clear, cold night of Christmas Eve, his voice carried very far. The shooting had stopped, and in that silence, he sang, and the British knew the song and sang back. They finished their carol, and we thought that we ought to retaliate. That's an interesting way to retaliate. Instead of they'd been used to retaliating by firing back. But now, the mortar that the Germans had launched was a song. And so the British said, well, we're going to retaliate. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't that change our world if someone stepped up in the middle of conflict and war and fighting and began to sing the praises of God and began to declare peace on earth and goodwill toward men? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what happened in Bethlehem that night. There was war between God and man, and God sent his angels to declare peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. And so the British retaliated. So we sang the first Noel. And when we finished, they all began clapping. All the German soldiers began clapping. And they struck up O Tannenbaum. And on it went until we started up O Come All Ye Faithful. And the Germans immediately joined in. This is a most extraordinary thing. Two nations, both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. Only the Prince of Peace can do that, folks. The United Nations can't do it. NATO can't do it. Only the Prince of Peace can do that. Gradually, the troops crawled forward into no man's land. The song had a deep impact on many of the soldiers. They wrote home after that day to their families, to their wives, and to their parents, saying, "You won't believe this. It's like a waking dream." They recognized that on both ends of the rifle, they were the same. It is recorded that enemy soldiers greeted each other in the no man's land that was a killing zone on December 23rd. The soldiers wished each other Merry Christmas and agreed not to fire their rifles on Christmas Day. The spontaneous ceasefire eventually embraced much of a 500-mile stretch of the Western Front. According to the reports of soldiers at the scene, hundreds of thousands of soldiers celebrated the birth of the Prince of Peace among the bodies of their dead. Once the carols had been sung, soldiers began to shout greetings across the field. Several of the German soldiers spoke English, allowing the sides to communicate freely. Soon, brave soldiers began to visit across the neutral zone in the middle of the field. They exchanged gifts of whatever they had, jam, cigars, chocolate, uniform buttons, or pieces. Other soldiers told of how the, quote, enemies exchanged badges and buttons from their uniforms. Others shared photos of wives and children, and some even exchanged addresses and promised to write after the war ended. The truce allowed both sides to receive soldiers whose bodies had fallen in the middle of the field. Prior to now, it had been too dangerous to emerge from the trenches to claim the bodies. Now, soldiers were given the chance to bury the bodies of their fallen brothers. In fact, in some cases, German and British soldiers joined together to hold funeral services for their friends, reading verses from the Bible, particularly the 23rd Psalm. Unfortunately, Christmas miracles are often too fleeting. In this case, the war had to resume, and while some soldiers refused to fight, understandably reluctant to resume killing their newfound friends, Army officials intervened, and by New Year's Day, the truce was over in all areas, but not in the hearts of those who experienced it. That is the message the Prince of Peace brought to us on Christmas long ago. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? And I want to share with you one more thing. I was going to share a couple of them, but I'll just share this one. I'll tell you about the other. The other one is one that you folks that come to prayer school are familiar with, and that's the account of when Kenya gained its independence in the 1960s. When When Kenya gained its independence from being a part of the British Empire in the 1960s, the other nations around Kenya were the same thing was happening, and many of those nations had fallen into bloody civil wars between the rival factions in the countries, and Kenya was headed for the same fate, it appeared. And Derek Prince, who shares this in the book Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, Derek Prince was living in Kenya at the time and as a missionary, and they had gathered together. There was a great conference, Kenyan nationals that there were Christians that were being trained for the ministry had come together. And in this conference, the Spirit of God moved among them and said, only the supernatural power of the prayers of my people can save Kenya from falling into the same fate. Well, they did. They prayed, and God moved, and God worked supernaturally. And Kenya did not go through the conflict and the bloody civil wars that the surrounding nations did. And Kenya was able to make that transition to an independent country in peace and in prosperity. And that was because they invited the Prince of Peace to rule and reign in their nation. Amen? Praise God. And I want to read this account from the Triumphant Church. And it doesn't mention it. Brother, the book doesn't mention it, but I know who this involved. This actually, the minister that they're talking about here was actually Jerry O'Dell and a team that he was heading up when he was still a part of Rhema. So this is something that Brother Hagin shared. Let me share an example that shows the power of scriptural prayer to push back the kingdom of darkness and change the course of events in a nation. Several years ago, the ambassador of an African nation, it was Swaziland, I can fill in that detail, visited Rhema with a personal message of thanks from the prime minister of his nation. A few months before that, a ministry team from Rhema that Jerry O'Dell was heading up had visited that African country at a time when the nation was on the verge of a revolution. The Rhema team met with the leaders of the nation and talked with them about the truth of Jesus Christ and were invited to a meeting of the parliament to pray for a peaceful solution to the crisis in their nation. God answered their prayers, and the crisis was resolved without bloodshed. The prime minister sent us the message, "The truth your people brought to our country about Jesus Christ saved our land from a bloodbath." You see, the devil wanted to cause a bloody revolution. But when believers stood in their authority in the name of Jesus, bound the works of the enemy, and then preached the gospel to the people, Satan's strategy was thwarted. But the ambassador from that African nation told us, "We can certainly tell the difference when Christians pray for our country and its leaders. When they take their place in prayer, it seems like the enemy's opposition is lifted. But if believers let up and stop praying, the effects of the forces of darkness just come creeping back in." All right, now, Isaiah 6 says the government will be upon what? His shoulders. Ephesians, Paul says that Christ is the head and we are the body. Amen. Where are the shoulders? They're in the body. No, they're in the body. Yeah, the neck's in between. Shoulders in the body, right? The shoulders are in the body. The government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on the church. Amen. When the church, when we use our authority that he's given us, amen, then the government, the government of the nations can peacefully exist. Amen? That's why he said in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for those in authority that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's wrap this up. Luke chapter 19 and read, come on back up if you would. Praise the Lord. So this peace that Jesus brought not only brings us peace with God and also gives us the peace of God and enables us to have peace with one another, but if we'll use our authority and our influence, we can bring peace in our nations. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In Luke chapter 19, and we need to be praying for our nation about that. And in this way, amen. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, Jesus says this, "Now as he drew near," talking about Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your... Next verse, Trinity. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your what?
Peace.
Your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. This is a somber scripture and prophetic warning that Jesus is giving to the city of Jerusalem and to the Jewish people. See, the Prince of Peace had come, but they didn't recognize. Some did, but many didn't recognize him. And he said, and he wept over that. He didn't say, well, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring judgment. He wept, it broke his heart. And he said, if you could only recognize the things that make for your peace. And if we will only open our eyes today to the things that make for our peace. The Prince of Peace has come. God has brought peace back into the world. Peace on earth is possible again if we'll accept it, if we'll receive it, and if we'll walk in it. Hallelujah. I pray that the things that make for our peace will not be hidden from our eyes today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because they rejected Jesus, they missed out on peace with God. And therefore, they couldn't have the peace of God. And so what was facing them on the horizon, as Jesus prophesied this, was war and destruction. And it's a sad commentary that had to happen. But if we'll open our eyes to the things that make for our peace, we can have peace. We can have peace. Amen. And see, the world, on the other side of that, the world will offer a false peace. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this, for when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. That's talking about the false peace that the world offers. See, the only true peace can come through the Prince of Peace. It can only come through Jesus. Amen. We are ambassadors of peace. We are the peacemakers, the true peacemakers. And the gospel that we preach and proclaim is the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It's only through Him that we can have peace. It's only when nations follow the Word of God, that there can be peace in a nation. Amen. When they say peace and safety, destruction comes upon them and they'll not escape. But you, brethren, verse 4, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And then later on, just a few verses down in this same chapter, Paul writes this. He says, now may the God of peace, there he is again, the God of peace. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace that Jesus gives us is wholeness. It's wholeness. And that's what Paul addresses here. He said, the God of peace will sanctify you, will set you. The word sanctify means set apart. The God of peace will set you apart completely. He will set you apart in your spirit from sin to righteousness. He will set you apart in your soul from chaos and confusion to the peace of God, guarding your heart and mind. And He'll set apart your body from sickness and disease to health and healing. May the God of... That's complete peace. That's complete peace. Wholeness. Wholeness in every area of our life. Hallelujah. May He sanctify you, set you apart completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wholeness, completeness, joined together, nothing missing, nothing broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The peace of God is available to you today. Peace with God is available for you today. If you're here today, or if you're joining us on YouTube, and you don't have peace with God, you're not right with God. When you think about God, you don't think of Him, and you don't have a sense of Him being your friend, your father, but someone that you have to avoid, someone you are at odds with. Well, He's already made the first move. The Bible says Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to bring us back to God. Hallelujah. So you can have that. So if you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not right with God. I don't know Jesus as my Lord. Or I've walked away from Him and I want to come back. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I don't know God. In my heart, I don't know Him as a father and as a friend. Someone that I am at peace with. I don't know that, but I want to know Him that way. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand if that's you? I want to know God as a father, as a friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I don't see anyone in the auditorium here with hands raised, but for the benefit of those on YouTube, would you join me? And then I'm going to pray about something else for us in here as well. But join me in praying and leading in prayer those that have joined us on YouTube that may need to make this decision to receive Jesus into their heart and to have peace with God. So pray this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I believe today that Jesus died for my sins. That the things that separated me from you, the thing that made me your enemy, my sin, my sinful nature, Jesus did something about that. Jesus paid for my sins on the cross when He died for me. And I believe that today. And I thank you, Father, that as I receive Jesus, you give me a new nature, a nature of righteousness. And I'm joined back to you now. I have peace with you now because I believe that Jesus is your Son. And you raised Him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like for you to contact us and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Now, again, let's just stay in this attitude of prayer. I want to ask you right now, if you have situations in your life that are troubling you, that your peace has been stolen away, there's a situation, a family situation, a financial situation, a health situation that has stolen away your peace, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you right now. I know there probably will be several. Raise your hand. Hold it up real high. That there's a situation that has stolen away your peace. Would you stand up? Go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to reclaim your peace today. In the name of Jesus. Those of you that aren't standing, everybody just be in an attitude of prayer. Pray for those that have stood here, be in prayer with us right now. Still with an attitude of prayer, with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I pray for every person that is standing right now, for over every situation right now, Lord, that the enemy has brought to try to steal away their peace. In the name of Jesus, we claim and we reclaim our peace today. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that you came to bring us peace. That means completeness. That means wholeness. Hallelujah. There's nothing missing. You already took care of it. You already made a provision for it. So those things that are troubling us right now, Father, we give them to you. And in exchange, we take your peace. That family situation, Father, that's troubling us, we give it to you right now, Father. And we, in exchange, we take your peace, knowing that you're working, knowing that you're faithful. Lord, that situation, that financial situation, that health situation that is trying to steal away our peace, in the name of Jesus, we give it to you. Thank you for the wholeness. Thank you for the wholeness that your peace gives us. Our whole spirit and soul and body made complete, made whole. That's your peace. That's your peace. We take that, Father, right now. We claim that, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. And everyone in the congregation, if you would, pray this prayer after me, especially those of you that are standing. But all of you, pray it with us as well. Dear Heavenly Father, in fact, let's everybody stand up. All of us, all stand up. Hallelujah. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I have peace with you through Jesus. There's nothing I can do to earn it. Jesus, you gave it to me. So I declare that I have peace with God. God's not mad at me. God loves me. God's for me. I'm on God's side. I have peace with God. And I also declare that the peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart and my mind. In the name of Jesus, I cast every care upon Him because He cares for me. I live in the peace of God. Of the increase of that peace in my life, there'll be no end. The peace shall only increase. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I bind every troubling thought. I bind every lie of the enemy that would trouble the people of God, that would trouble you in your mind, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your peace flood every mind and every heart right now. Let your peace flood every home right now. Let your peace flood this church right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let your peace flood our nation. Father, we stand in intercession for our nation right now. And we pray that the peace of God would prevail in our nation. We pray that the Prince of Peace would reign over America. In the name of Jesus. That the hostilities would end. That the division would end. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And we need to add this. We need to talk to the devil for a minute. Say this. Say, Satan, you are under my feet. I don't negotiate with you. I don't compromise with you. The only way that I can have full peace is to crush you under my feet. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my family. and take your hands off our nation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory. Praise God.